Blog Talk Radio.
The next 30 minutes, and I am so excited to spend this time with you over here in southern Indiana in a beautiful spring day today. Actually, it feels more like a summer day, but that is a wonderful thing because time is passing and life is wonderful, and it's what you make it. And we are continuing with our focus, which if you've been with us for the past several weeks, our focus has been on one of the most traumatic topics and issues that exist in our nation today, and that's adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And the statistics are just staggering for this issue and this problem, which is why I am putting a lot of focus on this concern. And we've had some great guests, and tonight is no different. We have a wonderful guest who's going to be joining us. His name is Dr. Nick Ariza. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm sure he'll let me know when he comes on the line. And Dr. Nick is actually a former MD and psychiatrist who now works as an international life coach, and he's the founder and CEO of Ariza Performance Coaching. And I am very excited to talk to him because he created and developed a very powerful performance-enhancing process. It's one of the most powerful processes that exists in our nation today, and it's called the Mind Resonance Process, or MRP for short. So I am going to go ahead and bring Dr. Nick on the line. I'm really anxious to get the conversation started. Dr. Nick, are you there? Hello, Dr. Nick. Can you hear me? Okay, well, Dr. Nick has not arrived yet, so we're going to go ahead with the discussion and just kind of talk a little bit about adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse. Now, this situation is so very critical, and it's very, very important to me because I have had quite a few clients who have actually suffered with this problem, and it has actually brought their lives to a screeching halt. So it's something that we really need to pay attention to, and we really need to get a handle on and understand if this is something that we're dealing with or we're suffering with in our lives. We need the tools and the knowledge on how to handle it and what to do. Because sometimes the memories may be stifled or they may be buried within us, and we don't even realize it. So this is something that we really need to make sure that we are aware of, and which is one of the reasons that I'm placing a lot of focus on this issue. But we are going to go ahead and try to see if we can bring Dr. Nick on the line. Again, I'm going to try to open up the microphone. Dr. Nick, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I don't know if you heard me a bit ago. Did you hear me?
Yes, I actually did. Yeah, I wasn't able to get through for some reason, but here we are.
Okay. Well, we're here now, and that's the most important thing. So I was mentioning your very powerful coaching tool that you created and developed called the Mind Resonance Process, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, MRP.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Okay, all right. Tell us a little bit about that because I am very interested in that because I know one of the objectives is to erase negative limiting beliefs, which is something that we all suffer with. But for the last several weeks, we have been focusing on the emotional trauma and drama that comes from being an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And a lot of times these memories get buried and people don't really understand or realize why their lives are spiraling out of control. But I know this tool that you have created can help with that as well as many, many, many other self-limiting beliefs. So tell us a little bit about this MRP process, Dr. Nick.
Okay. It's a big question, and I'm not sure if we have enough time, but I'll try to crack that egg if it's possible.
Okay. Let's try to crack it.
Yeah, the mind resonance process has many dimensions to it. It's a healing process, it's a coaching process, it's a spiritual process, it's a personal growth process. Essentially, what it's about is it's about extracting and deleting any and all negative events that are stored as negative memories in the subconscious mind. Now, certainly, sexual abuse memories fall into that category, but this applies, as you alluded to any negative event. Often what happens is that when a person experiences a negative event, it automatically gets stored within, and it sort of sinks, just like a lead ball sinks down to the bottom of the ocean. It sinks down into the subconscious mind where the person loses conscious awareness of it. But from there, its effects don't just go away. What happens is that these things, they behave in many ways. One of the things that they do is they generate from there. They're like negative thought and negative feeling pollution generating factories. And what they do is they generate these negative thoughts and these negative feelings, and these things kind of sort of float up into your conscious mind, and that's what people become aware of. And a lot of people, obviously, they don't like what those things do to them because they're very limiting, they're very constricting, they often will take charge of the person's mind and life, and they spend a lot of time trying to address those things, but they never, ever get to the actual root of the problem, which is the memory itself. The reason that they don't is because, first of all, it's not accessible to them because it is subconscious, it is unconscious to them, and most of the time they can't find their way back to that source. And even if they can, most modalities don't, in my view, deal with those memories effectively. The only way to effectively deal with them, in my view, is that they have to be completely erased. Now, for some people, that may sound either alarming or too dramatic or hard to believe that it is even possible. However, a decade ago, when I developed this process, I realized that not only was it possible, but it was essential if one was actually to reclaim their life and their mind and their body and to really become an empowered individual. So let me leave it there in a nutshell and see if there's anything else that you'd like me to focus on.
Well, everything you're saying is wonderful. I'm actually in the process of getting my master's degree in psychology, so I'm very aware of the conscious, the subconscious, and the creative subconscious. So, and I know that's an area that, like you said, it's vast, it's huge, and, you could just spend hours talking about just the subconscious and how beliefs are stored there, and people don't understand that we spend a lot of our time chasing down treatment for symptoms. I mean, the same thing happens in our medical lives, and I don't want to turn this into a medical show, but we treat symptoms, and we don't really get down to the root cause of what our high blood pressure is, which is, poor diet choices or lack of exercise. We don't really get down to the root cause of the problem. And the same thing occurs when we have emotional traumas and emotional issues. And, whether you're an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse or whether you experienced another traumatic event in your life, in your childhood life, or you experienced a bad divorce, and then all of a sudden you have created a negative belief about all men, or men have some negative beliefs about all women, and on and on and on. So everything you said, Dr. Nick, I totally can understand and agree with that. Once that belief is established and stored in your subconscious, your actions and your behaviors are going to be governed around that belief, whether you like it or not.
That's correct.
And
exactly.
You may not like what you're doing or how you're acting or how you're behaving, and you may even try to go and get an antidepressant to make you feel better, but that's not going to address the root cause. which is the negative belief issue that is stored in your subconscious. So it, as easily and as simply as you can put it, what are some of the first steps that you would do in your MRP session to help begin chipping away at that toxic belief that is stored there that's totally destroying someone's life?
Okay, well, it's actually hard to actually describe the process. And what I do is I invite people to experience it for themselves. I'll just say this briefly. I offer people a free session, a free telephone or Skype session that they, you know, they can avail themselves of. But what I do, often people will present themselves with a whole host of different issues. And most of the time, the issues have to do with, you know, relationship issues, self-sabotaging issues, whether it relates to relationships or to health or to financial life, you know.
Dr. Nick, I'm sorry. Let me stop you there for a second. Could you please explain what self-sabotaging means? Because a lot of people don't understand that term, and it's a very popular term in our nation.
Sure.
Okay.
Self-sabotaging, in a very basic sense, means to somehow manifest some kind of thought and or feeling and or behavior that goes against life itself, against that person's full, expansive, empowered life expression. In a very simplistic manner, it's anything that constricts or shuts down a person's self-expression, okay? Now, self-expression isn't just a vocal thing. It can, you know, it can be the manifestation of what their creative power, their creative purpose is. If that's getting shut down, then that's there's something that's sabotaging that and that person. Now, there's a bit of a misnomer to call it self-sabotaging because people believe that people sabotage themselves, that they willingly or voluntarily do this to themselves. But in fact, what happens is that they are actually, if they're carrying some kind of negative traumatic event or memory inside, the memory itself creates such a negative toxic environment inside of that person that it literally coerces them or forces them through some form of emotional pain to do something against themselves unwillingly. Okay, like overeating, for instance, or procrastinating, or engaging in some kind of literally physically self-abusive or sexual abusive behavior, or something like that. So it's a bit of a misnomer to call it self-sabotaging. It's more like programming sabotaging, but people think of it as self-sabotaging. It's basically to turn against one's life and oneself.
Mm, okay, great explanation. Thank you for that. So continue on with your explanation of how you would begin helping someone chip away at that emotional, toxic, negative thing stored.
So people will, you know, they will present themselves with some issue, and usually they're aware of the problem at a certain level of consciousness. And, you know, they may have, like, for instance, they may be constantly fighting with their partner for instance. And that's, as far as they can see, that's the problem, but they don't understand and they don't see the underlying root of the problem. In the same way that, you know, if you go out into the garden and you see a weed, you see the weed on the surface, but, you know, you may not know how long the root is and you may not actually know what the root looks like until you actually pull it out. So what I do is I do a bit of an exploratory discussion, and because of the, you know, many years of experience I've had, what I do is I help them to begin to tease out certain negative thoughts, negative beliefs, or negative behaviors or perceptions that they may consciously have accessible to them. And what I do then is I help them to begin to look at some of the false beliefs that they don't even know they hold about how those things are actually beneficial to them. Now, that may sound a bit convoluted, but when a person holds a negative belief genuinely feels, you know, bad when they look at it, they look at the experience of the thing, it makes them feel bad. So it doesn't make any sense from a rational standpoint to actually, you know, harbor that thing. So that thing needs to be lodged into that person in some way that it sticks to them. And the way it does is that it kind of lies to the individual. In other words, it kind of convinces them in a sort of a hypnotic fashion that somehow there's some benefit to them of holding that negative belief. And so what I do is I help them to unearth or become aware of that false anchoring belief. And as soon as they become aware of that, in other words, they become conscious of it, the negative belief itself that is being anchored just kind of starts to float away. Now, as I said earlier, the negative belief, any negative belief, is actually generated by a negative memory. The negative memory is like the factory that spews out all the toxic smoke and all the toxic beliefs. As the negative, that surface negative belief starts to float away, the memory that is fueling it or generating it or supporting it often begins to become accessible or conscious to them. It's like I said earlier, it's like pulling a weed out of the ground. As soon as you start to pull the leaves out, the root is soon to follow. That's important because as soon as the person begins to become aware of the memory itself, then that memory begins to become available for deletion too. And then I go through the same process and I help them to actually delete the memory. Now, when I say delete, I don't mean just the emotional charge of the memory. I mean the whole thing in such a way that the person will not even remember that it even took place, and it will feel to them like it never took place. In other words, what was originally or felt originally like an open wound will no longer be a wound, and it will feel like there was never even a wound there.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm describing a little bit of the process and the effects.
Okay. Couple of questions. The first question is, how long does the process take? And I'm sure it does vary by the individual and how severe the memory is. And then secondly, how does this compare with hypnosis? And I'm just asking the question because, you know, I'm sure someone out there is probably going to ask as they listen to the archive download, because that's what it sounds very similar to. So how long does your process take generally? In general terms, and then how does this compare with hypnosis?
Okay, well, the first question, how long does it take? Of course, it's a difficult question to answer because everyone is different, and it depends on what the person's unique goals are. But if they're interested in getting rid of a unique and single memory, it doesn't matter how traumatic that memory is. It could be the most traumatic memory that any person has ever experienced on the planet. Usually within a couple of sessions.
Well, let me give you a scenario, and that'll probably help. Let's say that we have, since the topic and the focus on the show has been adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse, let's say we have a male who is an adult survivor of a childhood sexual abuse situation, and it is manifesting itself in his life as dysfunctional sexual behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And he has never had a successful relationship. All his relationships just end in trauma because he doesn't know how to practice intimacy. He, you know, his sexual desires are dysfunctional because he masturbates to porn and all these things. So he doesn't know how to get rid of that drama or trauma that caused that dysfunction. So he just accepts it as, that's just who I am, that's my life, and that's how I will always be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, again, you know, in order to answer the question, how long does it take, we have to define what the goal is first, okay? If it's about forming relationships, that's a larger issue, okay? If we're talking about memories, if he's got a string of, traumatic events over a period of his life, then, you know, that's also a larger issue. But if we're looking at a single memory, no matter how traumatic, can, you know, in effect, literally be gone within a session or two, in most cases, completely. Now, what happens, too, is that this string of memories usually becomes a string, if you will, because of an initial kernel or primal memory, traumatic memory, that usually starts early on. And often what happens is that the person, because it's so early on, it may have manifested later on, say, as a sexual traumatic event, but it could have been something other than sexual, even at a younger age, okay, where there was some, you know, abandonment issue or something. So what I try to do is I try to go as far back as possible to find that primal kernel memory. And when you get that, and you can release that, what happens is that the entire wake of all the other stuff that comes after it actually just starts to dissolve. So there's a kind of a generalizing effect that happens if you can get really, really early memory, you know, traumatic memories. Now, with respect to your second question, this process is confused with hypnosis. In fact, it's actually the exact opposite of hypnosis, because what hypnosis does is it sends you into a trance-like state, okay? What this is doing is it's actually waking you up from trance-like states. Most people, when they experience a traumatic event, it's like there's a movie of this event that's playing in the back of their mind. They don't realize it. And they're literally living out in that waking trance state all the time. They think they're awake, but they're actually in a trance state. So what I do is I help them to shut or turn off that movie, just like when you wake up from a nightmare, from a sleeping nightmare. You wake up, the nightmare just like goes away. And so it's the same thing, except these memories behave as like waking nightmares. They influence and they affect and they drive and they manipulate. They literally take charge of the person's life in the course of their life, and they think they're in charge, but they're actually not. So what I do is I help them to turn that movie off, literally shut it off completely, so that when that happens, they're actually becoming more conscious, more awake, which is the opposite of hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I know it sounds like hypnosis. It sounds like a lot of things. People say things like, oh, it sounds like this, sounds like that. This is a unique process in the sense that it actually completely deletes these memories, deletes parts of your life history. And, you know, as I said, that's an essential component of this process that
right.
In my view, most other processes never actually get to.
Right. And Dr. Nick, now where is your office located? You are housed in what state?
Okay, I'm not actually in a state. I'm in Toronto, Canada. That's in Ontario, Canada, so I'm a little bit north and east of you. But my office is global. I work with people on the phone and through Skype. So I speak to people all over the world, and I do all my work through that medium. This process can be administered very easily and very simply through either of those mediums.
Now, if an individual did not want to do a phone session with you, do you have like an audio program, a video program that they could purchase?
I have introductory items. I have an e-book that people can look at. I've written over 1,000 articles that are available online that people can access through my website. I have some YouTube videos, but these are more of an introduction.
And what is your website?
My website, the URL, it's telecoaching. TELECOACING, the number 4, the letter U, .com. So it's telecoaching 4, the number 4, letter U, .com.
Okay.
Or they can just Google my name, Nick Ariza, ARRIZZA, in quotes, and they'll find me on the internet.
Excellent. This really does sound like a fabulous process, and I have many clients in my life coaching practice who could really benefit from this, because if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times, Dr. Nick, that this is the way I am, and I'm just hardwired this way, and I'll never change.
Yeah.
And again, that's another self-limiting belief.
Absolutely, yeah. Well,
for you, tell yourself you'll never change.
I'm sorry, say again?
For you to tell yourself, I'll never change.
Yeah. Well, often that belief is something that people, without realizing it, they use that as a way of trying to avoid going back and revisiting that old pain. Okay. So if a person is sort of married to that belief, then often what will happen is that they will never find their way to this kind of a process, because this process is meant to empower people. And, you know, it's only for people who connect with me have made a very significant decision in their heart, and that is that they want to feel fully self-expressed, fully alive. And often the people who make that kind of decision have, you know, either been suffering for a long, long time, have been searching for a long, long time, and have been frustrated for a long, long time, so frustrated that they finally have resolved in themselves that they want the answer. And it's when they make that kind of internal decision, something magical happens. And I don't want to sound too arrogant here because it's not about me, but it's like, you know, it's like tuning your TV set to a certain channel. When they tune to the right frequency in themselves, then they tune into the frequency of this process. This process has a kind of an energetic or spiritual frequency channel. And so it's like tuning into what I call the frequency of life.
Absolutely. And energy is very powerful. And we all consist of energy. Our thoughts are energetic. I mean, our thoughts consist of energy. So I can totally understand that if they – well, first of all, you have to have a strong desire.
Absolutely.
You have to want it bad enough. I mean, you can't continue to tell yourself, this is just the way I am, and procrastinate. You have to want it bad enough. And then exactly what you said, Dr. Nick, you've got to be willing to tune in to the right channel, which this MRP process sounds exactly like the right channel. So doing those two things, if you want to have a better life and you want to feel better, a lot of people say they want to feel better. They want to be in a successful relationship. They want long-term happiness, and they want to be fulfilled and live their lives, you know, in a better way. They want to be, do, and have better, but they just don't want to commit to doing what it takes to get that done. It's painful. It's easier to stay in your comfort zone because you've been this way your whole life, and change is not easy. Change is difficult, and that's a fact.
Well, I don't want to disagree with you, but this process, unlike other processes, actually what it does is it empowers you each step of the way so that as you start to become aware of deeper emotional pain, you only become aware of it and it becomes accessible to you because you have prepared yourself and you are resilient and strong enough to address it at the time. Unlike other processes that kind of just expose you to, you know, all that subconscious pain without preparing you, in effect actually re-traumatizes you. And unfortunately, I know there are a group of individuals out there who have, in fact, been re-traumatized by a lot of the modalities, therapies, and things that they've actually tried in the past. And they may have this assumption that this is just another one of those things. Now, I don't expect people to believe me, but all I can say is that, in fact, it's not one of those things. And I think that some of the negative and unsatisfying experiences or disappointing experiences that people have had with other approaches can actually stand in the way of their true empowerment when it comes to the MRP process.
Right, right. Well, you know, Dr. Nick, we're coming up on our last couple of minutes of the show, and you have actually been wonderful, a wealth of knowledge. I am recommending that everyone visit Dr. Nick's website, telecoaching4u.com, and you can email me. I can make sure I get you hooked up with Dr. Nick. And check out this process because it sounds like a life-transforming process that you absolutely need if you want to be, if you want to be better, do better, and have better in your life, then I'd say you need to hook up with Dr. Nick. So thank you again for your wonderful information. We are going to close for now, and we will see you same time next week here on the Living by Design show. Thank you and good night, everyone.
Thank you, Catherine.